Turning our Bible to the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. Now I say that the heir, now begin to take this personal, that's you. If you're a child of God, this is Paul, under the Holy Spirit, in the inspiration that only he can give, is talking to us, to you, to me. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now that doesn't mean that someday he might be other than a child of God. It simply means that he may spend his lifetime never growing out of babyhood or childhood. And so it is something that we need to consider very, very seriously. Paul tells in his writings, wherein some need to be teachers, they still have need that one teach them. And so this is so true. If you talk to the average Christian tonight, he or she knows next to nothing about the Word of God, and thus you can pass almost any doctrine, be it a doctrine of a devil, of men, or whatever. Especially if it's something exciting, something that gathers and draws peoples, and something that you can make as much like a circus or something like that as possible. There are a lot of dear, dear saints that are carried away. And I was talking to a precious brother, I'm sure he is, and he said, well, these people didn't want to mislead you. Well, the Bible tells us they lie in wait to deceive you. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, now that's, of course, the Jew especially, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, that is, Father. I was talking to a party recently, and I prayed a few times when I'd get in a mess of some sort, and yet I remember the night I surrendered my life to God. As I waited at the altar, suddenly it seemed that a burden rolled off my life that I was unable to bear. And I can remember how I looked up and cried, Father! And so this is real. And so I'll read the sixth verse again. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather, are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of or for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. For I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. That is, you haven't influenced me. You haven't carried me away. You haven't done me damage. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Well, I read one verse beyond what we should. But let me say, dear hearts, there's no way that I could overstate or even state the full meaning of our lesson tonight. As I look at you, and as I realize what this is really saying, I'm looking at the aristocracy of heaven. Do you realize that? You have any idea who you are? You may not be able to buy your next meal, but like the Apostle Paul, when he was in the dungeon, you can write about, talk about, sing about the joys of the heavens, because in reality, this is exactly what and where and who you are, if you care about it. And so I would emphasize to you again and again your spiritual inheritance. Next to the truth of salvation is this truth of our inheritance. And the devil knows this, and he influences even the teachers of the Word of God, mainly over the world tonight. And he inspires and encourages them to neglect and even reject sound doctrine. He tells you sound doctrine is detrimental to the church tonight. Without sound doctrine, you will lose out on your everlasting inheritance. And if you were as rich as Bill Gates and someone robbed you of every penny you had this night, stripped you of your home and every dignity that you had, it wouldn't come close to what is in the offing for you. If somehow you can just seek God and let the Holy Spirit make it real to your heart and make it real to your life. And so to neglect and reject sound doctrine is the advice of the present day ministry. And it tells you not to believe in doctrine. It's damaging to the work of God. But most of Paul's writings, and the Word of God for that matter, if God was displeased, and the Bible says he was, displeased and disappointed with Israel when they stood on the border at Kadesh Barnea and refused to go into the land of and possess it, the land that they hadn't dug the wells, they hadn't built the houses, they hadn't put out the vineyards and the olive groves and whatever, that land that he had ready for them. What do you suppose Now, you may be ignorant, you may never have heard. The majority of God's precious people, just to them, the bride of Christ is just something that's away off yonder, and they're automatically going to be in it, and everybody is going to be in the bride of Christ. And precious hearts, you see, nothing could be farther from the truth. The Bible makes it clear that these things, like the land was before Israel, is before you. And every place you place your foot, God has given it to you. And so He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And I often think, we have a struggle sometimes. I have had and may have again. I don't know. I hope I'm advanced enough in my life that I won't look at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, and know that the Lord is my caretaker. Now, one day, all of us, if we're born again, we're going to go to heaven. I wonder who you think's going to keep you up there. Paul had that wonderful revelation. And he said to the Philippians, he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory by Christ." God has just one way to supply our need, through Christ. And that's a great act of grace. But you will find the entire Bible is emphasizing and is especially concerned with our growth and our development in Christ. And believers need to know the plan of God and the purpose for this age. You must understand that He is going to bring many sons. We'll read that in the book of Hebrews, and you get down here, let's see, in the fifth verse, and he said, "To redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption." That's hardly the word as we think of adoption of sons. You see, we're more than adopted. We are born of God. And so we must understand that. The book of Galatians, of course, as does much of the other Bible, draws a line, as it were, that makes a very definite distinction that should enable us to see the difference between law and grace. And you see, law is what I am supposed to do. God gave the law. That's His law. That's what He is. That is a part of what He is. You can follow the law to its deepest depth, but it'll never really teach you what God is. But grace teaches you what God is. You see, I can do, or I can try to keep the law, but grace is what God can do. You see, God's grace is for us. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was present with me. I have thought since the few Sundays ago, Sundays ago, when I spoke on mounting up with wings, I've heard some of the most grievous things about God's precious people, how You know what it is. You can't, and you're blue, and you're discouraged, and you're tempted to give up, and you're tempted to go back, and whatever. Why don't you wait on the Lord? It says, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up. And I'm not trying to point to me, but I carried just that arthritis alone. I carried it in my body getting worse every day for almost 3 years. I waited on the Lord. I'll tell you, when I went home that last night from church, I think I felt like I'm through waiting. I just felt... I actually prayed, Lord, let me faint. Just let me get out of this pain. But I waited and waited. And then when the doctor, Sister Hill, brought him in, and he came, he said, I got to take you to the hospital. Somehow the Lord gave me the courage to tell him, oh, I can't go to the hospital. And I was able to speak by faith. You see, precious hearts, God won't fail you. He told Israel, you've read it and I've often referred to it. He told Israel, now he said, there's that land stretching out there before you. I'm going to take you through that land. And you have every kind of an enemy out there. And there isn't a visible means of anything out there for you, but I will not leave thee nor fail thee. Paul picks that up in the book of Hebrews, and he said, he hath said, I will not leave thee nor fail thee or forsake thee, so that we can boldly say, we can say it because he said it. That's what gives you boldness. He said, they that wait on the Lord. Are you going to admit you didn't wait on the Lord? He said he would. And precious hearts, you must understand that to wait on the Lord might be for some time. That don't mean, have you ever recognized? Read some of the Bible. Know where you are. Precious hearts, listen, the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Gold's going to perish, I guess. I don't know about that we'll walk on. I guess he'll fix it up there forever, I suppose. The trying of your faith is precious to you more than all of the money, all the gold, all the everything. I don't care what you have in this life. It's temporal. What you have yonder is forever. Let him give it to you. And it's yours by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Not by fetishes and so on and so on and so on. That word there in the third verse that says we are in bondage under the elements. That word element, it means a system of external observations and regulations. And it's God's precious people, but I must get along here. But you see, the book of Galatians very distinctly shows a separation. For example, there is but one way to get into God's family. You know what it is, don't you? It's not by works of righteousness which we can do. You see, Abel or Cain brought something in his hand. You remember the old altar invitation theme, and I love it. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Isn't it wonderful to know that? Do you realize if you know that? You're about as scarce in Christendom as hen's teeth. Did you ever see hen's teeth? Well, I was raised on the farm and seen them by the thousands, but I had my first one to see have teeth. Well, how do we get into God's family? Jesus told Nicodemus. Let me just quickly, I hope you all know this, but I'll just quickly read in the third chapter of the book of John, and I'll read the third verse. Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, or surely, surely, or truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can read it to him, you can preach it to him, but until he's born again, he may be able to parrot it like a parrot, but you can only see it when you get it down here. Then the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. The seventh verse said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Let me go over to Peter and read a verse. And I'll get there. I'll go to 1 Peter and, I can't find it where it don't exist, can I? Well, let me read 1:23. Now, Peter here tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's how we all came into Adam's family, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he makes it very clear, but I'm going to read now from the book of James and read 1:18. Of his own will begat he us. How? With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see that? Until you're born again, you can't be God's child. You can't get in God's family other than being born again. And that you have no more power other than to believe. And he has to give you that. You're saved by grace through faith. That faith, not of yourselves. Did you know that? So don't tell me how much you believed. Made me think of a little a young boy and Christian workers, or Christian, said to him, son, have you found the Lord Jesus? He said, I didn't know he was lost, but he sure found me. So that's the way it goes. So every born again person is a child and an heir. Romans 8:17 says, if children, heirs. And then it says, but joint heir, if so be that we suffer together with him. Let's go to 2 Timothy and 2:12. Well, let me go back Let me read from the 10th verse of 2 Timothy 2. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now there he's talking about the salvation that is in Christ with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, to let us take us into the suffering, he will also deny us. You see, we are heirs and joint heirs if so be. See, there's a difference in just being an heir. Every child of God is God's heir. Isn't it wonderful that you could have everything that God has, but you can be a joint heir? You could have. But the way to be a joint heir, to sit in the throne, like Hannah said in that prophetic prayer of hers, he lifts the poor out of the dust. He gets the beggar from the dunghill, sets him in the throne of the prince. Do you realize what is before you tonight? You have any idea who you are? You have any idea what he is doing, what he wants to do? Precious hearts, oh, how can I get it across to you? I know who you are. Can you get inspired with who you are? Now, we could put on an entertainment and all that stuff. So, let me read again here from this book of Galatians and get into this fourth chapter, and we'll see here. All right. Now I say that the heir, that's you, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. How many times, I don't like to be personal, but Lynn set here. I don't know where the Polly is, but they were left money by their forebears, and each of them have a trust, but they left all that trust. I'm afraid some of it was in the hands of a bunch of crooks that wanted to better themselves. But you make sure the Holy Spirit wants you to have everything that God can give you. You see, however, as long as you're like these that are going to save themselves by doing and don'ting, by attempting to keep days and seasons and so on, like the legalist had come down from Jerusalem and told them, well, now, that's wonderful. We know you have come to know Christ, but now if you want to finally get there, you're going to have to do certain things and don't do certain things. And if you want the best, You've got to be circumcised, and you've got to keep days, and you've got to do things. Now listen, precious hearts. Keeping days, keeping seasons, doing and don'ting never, never saved or could save a soul. Because that makes me my Savior. You see, I need Jesus, as do we all. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. You see, precious hearts, it's a sad thing that there are Christians, and we know them and we see them, and we're not to go around judging them, but hopefully pray for them. Remember how Samuel said, God forbid that I sin against God by not praying for you. How much do you pray? I'm so grateful to God tonight that He has put in this heart of mine a love that enables me to pray for the people who have done me the dirtiest that they could. I don't want a one of God's precious people to miss his best. I want you to have his best. A dear man said to me last night, Brother Hill, what can I do? I want to do something for you. I said, I'll tell you what you can do for me. Get God's best. And if I can look on you and know that I had that place in your life that I helped you to God's best, I'll treasure you like you can't imagine. That's what it's going to be. See, I see you over there. And I pray, God, that you will be able to say, that man told me the truth. For what is my joy, my crown of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, Paul said. Is it not even ye? Is it you? Ah, yes. Well, see, the message here is not the message of safety or destiny, but the difference of being an heir and a joint heir. You're an heir. I don't care if you go out and live like Lot, and God forbid that you not step in and do what God is pleased with. But just like Lot, you'll be saved, and God forbid. You see, there's a difference in being a child and being a son. The Bible never even once questions the destiny of a person who has been born again. Only the state or the fellowship of a believer is ever in question. Paul teaches, as long as a believer remains carnal, and this involves trying to perfect the flesh, you go to the 5th chapter of this book of Galatians, you that are being made perfect by the flesh, you've fallen from grace. There's only one thing that I can produce: self-righteousness. He produces the righteousness, and he does it in me. As I yield to him, as I take in the word of God, as you see, Paul tells us, ye are, in the book of Colossians, ye are complete in Him. He is everything we need right now, right now. We need Him. Now you may eat from the fat of the land without Him, but you just as might have been better off not to live. You see, it's going to come down to such a thing. Paul teaches as long as the believer remains carnal, it involves nothing but a perfecting of the flesh. You can do something or not do something, and one differs nothing from a servant, though Lord of all. Do you realize you're a Lord of all? As long as you're trying to keep and keep and keep and don't and don't and don't. Jesus illustrated it so many, many times, different ways. He said, "Behold the lily." Look at that beautiful poinsettia. Man has made many of them. I've got one back there in my office, artificial, but it don't come up to that. Jesus said, "Behold the lily, how it grows. It don't toil. It don't strive. But Solomon, with all that was at his command, the finest artists of every kind, could not array himself as one of these." Artificial things won't get it done. You see, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so, dear hearts, most of God's children, instead of yielding to the word, they go by rules and what my church believes and what my old daddy believed. Now, my old daddy, I know he's in heaven. They told me when I was just a child, I can remember him dying, but I couldn't grasp the immensity of it all at that time, and maybe not altogether now. But his last words, and I've told most of you before, "I see the pretty angels coming one by one." They never heard another breath or anything, and they didn't know he went so quietly. And so they passed between him. He was looking at his mother's picture on the wall, and they passed, and they noticed he never, and they knew he was gone. So, being under tutors and governors, Lynn and her loved ones, they had in that trust this money, but they couldn't get it. Even if they wanted it, they could go borrow against it if they could find somebody that would loan them money. But they had to wait while someone else controlled their money and whatever. But keeping Sabbaths and such like, I believe it shows a desire for self-righteousness. Now, I'm glad we set a Sunday apart, or like it used to be. You were considered a heathen when I was a boy if you didn't go to church. Now it's pleasure day. And I remember several years ago, this was several years ago, there was a United Brethren church over here on, the Mississippi. It was over here on Mississippi. And when the summer came, they dismissed the church on a Sunday and then had their church on one of the weeknights because most of their congregation went to the mountains. And when the Broncos played for the mastery. And it looks like they lost their touch, doesn't it? And anyway, that outfit brought TVs into the church because the people wouldn't come to church. They so dear hearts. How would you like to attend a church there? Well, let me end it up. I'm going to read the seventh verse, heirs through Christ, not weak and beggarly elements. And all the ceremonies of the law are nothing but weak and beggarly elements. They present grace and purity. They say they're wonderful, but keeping them, they can't produce it. The law may show the sinner his need to be clean, to meet God, and yet can supply nothing. But now, Paul says in closing in the 9th through the 12th verse, after knowing God, or after being known of him, and that's better than knowing him, it's being known of him. Are we going to turn back to these weak, beggarly things, which are nothing but a shadow? Read the first chapter. I won't keep you longer. Read the first chapter of the book of Colossians and read. These things are but a shadow, and the shadows are past. I never got to bring out, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law. He came to redeem us from the law. Now, if he redeemed me from it, and precious hearts, you do know there won't be anything like that in heaven. We won't be up there trying to keep 10 commandments. Don't you know that? Well, I'll give you a little secret since you don't seem to know it. I read in the book of Ephesians that he quickened you. He raised you. He seated you in the heavens. And I said, well, if he did that for Gaze, he's got to do it for me. So what are we trying to keep those things for? We're living in Canaan now, the song said. I'm doing well, I'm glad to tell. I'm living in Canaan now. Kind of good most of the time. Of course, I'm kind of getting old and frail and threadbare, and I'm going to wear this old thing out pretty soon. I've got a brand new one. It'll be new every morning. All right, shall we stand? We invite you to come seek the Lord. If God is tugging at your heart, be responsive to him in any way that you can.